Those of you who have followed this course and have done the homework assigned will have read the booklet called Beginning with Christ. You will have committed to memory the four passages of Scripture found in the packet at the back. Also, you will have begun reading the second booklet called Going On with Christ, and will have committed to memory the first passage of Scripture, namely Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. Both of these booklets, Beginning with Christ and Going On with Christ, will be of great help to you personally for your own life. I'm sure you have found so already. In addition to this, you'll find that these will be very helpful tools in encouraging a young Christian. Furthermore, there will be something that you could put in the hands of the person that you are privileged to lead to Christ. Last time I pointed out that there are two basic things that we want to help you to do that will make you the most effective witness to individuals for our Lord Jesus Christ, and will make you so in the fastest amount of time. One is to come to have a working knowledge of the Bible, particularly through committing scripture verses to memory. Not that this is the only way to come to know the Bible, because you should be reading it consecutively and consistently. You should have some type of Bible study plan as well. But particularly for scripture memory, for individual witnessing, scripture memory is very, very important. Then the second thing is this, that you should have a daily time set aside every day for personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We based this thought last time on Acts chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. If you have not made note of that passage, you should. It's a key passage on this particular point. Acts 22, verses 14 and 15. Let me read it to you again today. And Ananias said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, first that thou shouldst know his will, second, and see that just one, third, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." In other words, to be an effective witness for Christ, you must take time to look at the Lord Jesus, to hear what he has to say, and then you can go out and tell others what you have seen and what you have heard. But you must take time to look and listen. Otherwise, you will have nothing to say. And you will have nothing that is real and alive. Remember that the Christian life is all wrapped up in a person, the person of the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. We come to know him as Savior by a personal act of faith, receiving him into our hearts and lives. And then that Christian life is lived by faith in personal fellowship with him. That fellowship with him will make him so real to us personally that we'll want to tell others about our friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll have that unembarrassed freedom of speech, that boldness to talk to others courteously and kindly about Christ. And then our fellowship with Christ will enable us to have the Christ-like life to back it up. Now then, how do you go about having this time of fellowship each day with the Lord? Today we want to take time to give you some practical suggestions on this quiet time, this time set aside daily for fellowship with our Lord Jesus. And as our key passage on this, turn with me to Daniel 6, verses 10 and 11. Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. You remember the background of this story, how those who were so envious of Daniel got the king to sign a decree that if anyone prayed to anyone other than the king during the next 30 days, that that person would be thrown in the den of lions. And in verses 10 and 11, we read these words. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. What a wonderful way to be found, praying and making supplication before God. Now there are several things that we can learn here from Daniel. One is that he had a definite time set aside each day for prayer. For Daniel, it was 3 times a day. Now, it may not be the same for you, but one point is certain. We ought to have a definite set-aside time, an appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what time of the day would be best depends upon your own program and schedule. But for most, early in the day is the best, before breakfast. Then we can quiet our own hearts before the Lord, get direction from His Word for that day, and He is able to nourish us and to strengthen us and to set our sights, so to speak, to honor and to glorify Him in every activity throughout the day. Now, if we are to get that time, undoubtedly it will mean getting up a little earlier. So we'll have to decide, what time do we have to go to work? Back up a little ways. When do you have to leave for work? Back up a little more. What time do you have to have breakfast? Back up a bit more still. How long does it take you to get ready for the day? And then, how much time do you want to allow for the quiet time? Now, if you haven't had a quiet time consistently, may I suggest 15 minutes a day each morning before breakfast? Now, there are some of you who have been doing this for years. Maybe you spend a half an hour or an hour. But if you have not done this before, I'd suggest a smaller time. And then when that is packed full and rich with blessing, and you must take 20 minutes, then let it grow to that. But say 15 minutes. Well, then when will you have to get up? Say it was 6 o'clock, 6:15. Well, what is the secret of getting up in the morning? It's getting to bed at night. I am certain that most of you will agree that at night we can putter around the house doing this little thing and that and really not accomplishing much, but that the subtle battle is found in getting to bed. And we must, if we're to get adequate rest, get up in the morning to meet the Lord and be strong for the day. Now, one thing is important about it. Whatever you do, be consistent in your quiet time. It's a lot better to get 15 minutes every day than an hour just every once in a while. Not that the Lord is going to be mad at you, so to speak, if you miss that time in the morning, or that the day will go bad. But to me, it's something like the climate and the weather. You know, the weather will vary from day to day, but the climate is the overall average. Now, your devotional life, your quiet time, may vary a bit from day to day with the circumstances of your life. But the overall average over the long period of time should be a consistent time set aside daily for fellowship with the Lord Jesus. So set a definite time, a time that is best for you, and keep it. Then the second thing we notice about Daniel is that he had a definite place for prayer. He went into his house. Now this is an important thing, if for no other reason than it saves time to get there. But this place should be alone, if possible. The Lord Jesus, in order to get alone, had to go out into a desert place. But he went to great lengths to get alone. For instance, in Matthew 14, verse 23, we read, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." We need to get alone and away from distractions. I don't know where that would be for you, but maybe there is some place around your home. Maybe it's in the living room. Maybe it's down in the basement. I know in our home I went out in the garage in the storage room and stored some of the things a little bit higher, cleared out a little corner, and got a little piece of rug to put on the cement floor and a chair, and it made a place to which I could go in the morning for prayer. It may be that if the weather is nice, you could go down to a nearby park or out in a field, or perhaps you could go out and sit in the car. But find a place alone that you can go for this quiet time. Well, then after you have a definite time and a definite place, you ought to have a simple method. And let me suggest to you how to go about having 15 minutes with the Lord in the morning. First of all, I would begin with the Word of God, the Bible. You see, it's the Scripture, His Word, that nourishes the soul. As the Lord Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So you need to open up to some portion of Scripture. Maybe you'd like to read through the Gospel of John, a chapter each morning. And there ask God to speak to your own heart, to see the person of Christ, to give you something that you can apply to your own life. And it's good to have this definite plan rather than to sort of the hunt and peck system with one portion of Scripture from one part of the Bible one day and another part the next day. It may be that you have a simple study plan that you would follow. But at any rate, it should be something that is consistent and systematic. It would be well, too, if you would have a notebook by your side that you might note down some of the things that God has spoken to you from the Word that day as it applies to your own life and the needs that will face you. If I were spending 15 minutes in quiet time, I think I would take 7 or 8 minutes that way to meditate in the Bible. If you were taking 30 minutes, say, you might want to spend 15 or 18 minutes meditating on some portion of Scripture. And then go to prayer. Well, what do you do when you pray? Let me suggest 5 things that will be a help to you. First of all is to confess any known sin that the Lord brings to your heart. And to use 1 John 1:9, that promise where He says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Then after confession, secondly, to praise Him for who He is. And then thirdly, to thank Him for what He has done, dying on the cross, for the daily blessings that He gives us. And fourthly, to pray for the people that He brings to our mind that we should pray for, to intercede for them. And one very helpful way to intercede is to turn to some of the prayers of the Apostle Paul, such as in the first chapter of Philippians, the first chapter and the third chapter of Ephesians, and make some of those prayers your prayers for your friends. And then finally, fifthly, petition for yourself. So a simple method. First of all, a time of meditating in the Word each morning, and then a time for prayer. And I'm certain that you'll have no difficulty spending 15 minutes every morning very, very profitably for your own soul. Do you have a time set aside each day? Why don't you plan to do that starting tomorrow morning? This is an absolute must. Nothing will take its place. Now then, our homework for next time will be to commit to memory the second and third passages found in the packet in the back of the booklet called Going On with Christ, namely Matthew 6:33 and Philippians 4:13. Commit those to memory, Matthew 6:33 and Philippians 4:13. And then set aside 15 minutes a day at least for a personal time of fellowship with Jesus Christ, a quiet time.